Hello, Super Deep Dive! Welcome to another episode. I am your host, Jason, and I have a good one scheduled today. So, before I get into it, let me get my normal disclaimers out of the way, and we will jump into it. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. Also, if you guys ever want to reach out to me, I am on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive, and I use the hashtag Superhero Deep Dive. You can catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. I post videos every day, except the weekends. I try not to do the weekends. You can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. And you can catch me on Outworld Fleet Radio every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day. Their website is www.un-con-ventional.com/radio. Okay, now, with that being said, I have a great episode. I am excited about it because this is one that I started brainstorming with and actually may have come up with some really cool ideas. Little housekeeping, I got a comment on one of my episodes previously about Darkchild. They were not happy with how I presented ideas. For that, I apologize. I respect your ideas. I respect the fact that you want to keep the character more comic accurate. I definitely don't argue that at all. You know, it's cool. It's cool with me. Thank you for sending in your feedback. I hope that you were able to reciprocate. And yeah, and we can grow because I love having these conversations with you guys. So even if you don't like what I have to say about a character, by all means, you are more than welcome to comment, especially on YouTube where we can have a discourse back and forth and kind of shoot ideas off each other. Absolutely. The only thing I ask is that you are respectful because that's kind of the name of the game, right? I mean, no one wants to insult each other. That's just kind of lame at this point in the game. But anyways, I am going to be talking about Starfire today from Teen Titans. Starfire is an amazing character and she's got so much potential, but I want to get into it. Okay, so her real name is Coriander, kind of like the spice. Now, Starfire is actually Princess Coriander of the planet Tamarin in the Vega system and was in line to rule the planet as queen. Commander, who is her sister, also known as Blackfire, developed a bitter rivalry with her after suffering a disease in infancy that robbed her of the ability to harness solar energy and allow her to fly. And by extension, she kind of forfeited her role to the throne as a result. And that's, you know, kind of one of those old school power games. If you don't have the power to show, then you don't have the power to rule. This rivalry continued and intensified when the siblings were sent for warrior training with the Warlords of Okara. Things came to a head during a sparring exercise in which Commander attempted to kill her sister. As a result, Commander was expelled and she swore vengeance. Bum bum bum. You know, these things happen, I guess. You know, it's all fun and games until someone pokes an eye out. So, but you know, you have this bitter rivalry. The revenge came in a plot where Commander betrayed her planet by supplying detailed information about Tamarin's defenses to their enemies, the Citadel. They conquered Tamarin with ease, and the surrender conditions included the enslavement of Coriander, who was never permitted to return since that would mean the Citadel would devastate the planet for breaking the treaty. So, yeah. To her horror, Coriander learned that Commander was her master. Her own older sister made the most of her siblings' years of horrific servitude, which included frequent torture and sexual exploitation. When Coriander killed one of her captors, Commander decided to execute her as punishment, but the sisters were attacked and captured by the Scions, a group of sadistic alien scientists. while performing deadly experiments on the sisters to test their solar energy absorption limits, the Cyan were attacked by Commander's forces. Coriander broke free using her newly developed Starbolt's destructive blasts of ultraviolet energy, which were a result of the experiment. Out of misguided familial loyalty, she freed Commander, who was still absorbing more amounts of ultraviolet energy. Far from grateful, Commander contemptuously struck her sister down with the same, but with more intensity and power than had her restrained for later execution. So she couldn't even take like the help. Like that's the kind of deep-seated hatred they had, or she had for Starfire. You know, Starfire still tried to help. She just couldn't deal with it. And that's a kind of a sad thing when, you know, the hate is so thick. The hate is so blinding that you can't even accept the most basic of help. But it makes for a good story, right? Now, Coriander escaped by stealing a spacecraft to flee to the nearest planet, which was Earth, where she met the first Robin, who is Dick Grayson, and his compatriots. She joined them in forming the Teen Titans. She became a charter member of this team and remained a member for years, finding work as a professional model using the name Corianders. Because that's a big stretch, right? While a member of the Teen Titans, Coriander was frequently romantically involved with Dick Grayson. She has been married twice, both times to Tamaranian men, once to Prince Karras to seal a peace treaty, and once to General Sizon out of love. Karras died in battle while Faison died trying to defend New Tamarin against the Sun Eater. So she's twice widowed. In between these, she nearly married Dick Grayson, but their wedding was interrupted by Raven, who was evil at the time. Raven murdered the priest before he could pronounce Dick and Coriander husband and wife, but canonically, they were still married regardless. The relationship was already on unsteady ground after Raven came in, and with Coriander fearing that Dick was rushing into marriage, and also concerned about the anti-alien sentiments that sprang up in response to the news of the impending nuptials. Because, you know, jerks gotta ruin it for everyone. It's kind of what they do. In the Titans of Tomorrow storyline, Batwoman said that Starfire would have a wonderful future with Nightwing. The half-blood Mari Grayson was born from their union in the Kingdom Come timeline, and however, during Infinite Crisis, an image from the Titans Tomorrow timeline shows a gravestone implied to belong to a deceased Dick Grayson. In recent years, the character has developed to be polyamorous and pansexual. So they kind of did that. I can see it with the character. I'm not a big fan of it. But I can see it because the character was always very open in that kind of way. And, you know, being sexually exploited and stuff back on her home planet, that kind of trauma can lead to things like that. And not saying that being pansexual or polyamorous is any kind of mental disorder. I'm just saying psychologically, they can lead to it because you end up getting acceptance from whoever's around, basically. And there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. It is what it is. All right. Let's see here. During Infinite Crisis, Starfire joined Donna's new Cronus team, and that's Donna Troy, that went to investigate a hole in the universe that was found during the Rand-Thanagon War. They had arrived at the Reset Center of the universe, and with the help of assorted heroes, aided in the defeat of Alexander Luthor, who was attempting to recreate the multiverse and build a perfect Earth from it. She is then reported missing at the end of the crisis. So, lots happening with that, right? That's a lot to take in. On the seventh day of the fifth week of the 52 series, Starfire is shown to be stranded on a paradise-like planet with Animal Man and Adam Strange. In the same issue, it was revealed that energy ripples caused by Alexander Luthor Jr., altered by the Zeta Ray beams the space heroes were going to use to return home, among other things, caused the trio to be teleported together to the planet. So, on a whole new environment at this point. Excuse me. Now, a week and sometime later, Starfire is seen eating an odd narcotic native fruit. Luckily, Adam's tough love seems to snap her out of it, or at least make her stop eating the fruit. 2 days later, Devilence, a being whose presence Animal Man had sensed earlier, appears to Starfire. A week, 2 days, and two nights later, you know, I can't keep up with all that. Adam Strange and Animal Man go looking for her. Unfortunately, they find her caught in a large net hanging from above. Just as Animal Man realizes it's a trap, he and Adam get caught in a similar net with her comrades to distract Devilence. With Devilence staring at them. After that, Starfire awakens and works together with her comrades to distract Devilance. She pays Devilance back for capturing her by stealing his staff and striking him with it before catching up with Adam Strange and Animal Man. As the trio head back to the ship, hoping to use his staff as a power source, Devilance broods bound by the same vines he had used to restrain his captives. So that's a lot. That's a lot there. But, you know, good for them, right? And they got out. At the end of week 16, the repairs on the ship are completed and the trio take off for Earth. Devilance later suddenly attacks the ship and heads and takes back his lance. And just as Devilance is about to destroy the ship, he is torn apart by Lobo. Believing he is going to attack them next, Starfire convinces Lobo to help the trio by offering payment, but not before he rips her top off. I wish I didn't read that. She returns to the ship to explain the situation to her companions while Lobo hitches the ship to a space bike. They follow Lobo to his new stronghold in Sector 3500, a sector space mysteriously ravaged, and ruled by Lobo acting as a religious man. To save him and the inhabitants from a swarm of strange creatures, Starfire is forced to use the Emerald Eye of Ekron, alerting Ekron himself. The ragtag team is then forced to flee with Lobo acting as their guide, gaining Ektron's help in discovering their real enemy, Lady Styx, bringing havoc and mayhem to the entire galaxy. Starfire agrees to fight her, and she is brought as a prisoner of the Galactic Villainous by Lobo in an attempt to foil her defenses. The attempt succeeds, but Animal Man is seemingly killed, and Lobo leaves. During this time, I'm sure she's gotten her top back, so don't worry about that. She'll be fine. Oh, goodness gracious. Yep. Okay. Starfire and Adam are left alone in space, their ship slowly breaking apart, still pursued by angry Lady Styx followers. Starfire is badly injured, and a blind Adam Strange, who is relying on machinery, which is no longer useful, cannot do anything to help her. Just as they are going to crash into a sun, however, Mogo and a rookie Green Lantern come to their rescue. Cured but still recovering, she travels to Earth in order to return Animal Man's jacket back to his wife, Ellen, unaware that Animal Man was resurrected and arrived on Earth shortly before her. Upon her return, she manages to destroy two of Lady Styx's followers who were attacking Animal Man and his wife. She then returns his jacket to his wife before passing out from exhaustion and is left in the care of the Baker family, who is Animal Man's family. So, yeah, there's a lot going on with that too, right? Like, this is kind of crazy, it's kind of insane, but there's a lot happening, and maybe they're all the better for it? I don't know. It's hard to say, but there's a lot happening with this. So in 2011, DC Comics canceled all of their monthly titles and rebooted the DC Universe with 52 new titles in an initiative dubbed the New 52. As part of the relaunch, Starfire became a cast member of the series Red Hood and the Outlaws. In this new continuity, the character appears to have a similar origin, though she is now a member of the Outlaws, in which Jason Todd, who's the second Robin, the Red Hood, and Roy Harper, who's Arsenal, are her teammates. as in the past continuities, as in the past universe, she has a relationship with Dick Grayson. One significant change to her backstory is that she was sold into slavery by her sister to save Tamarin from the Citadel. See, now that's more of the origin that I knew of before. Another is that her ship, which crashed on a tropical island, appears to be her primary home, where she keeps a number of articles of Nightwing's clothing, which eventually serve to become part of Jason's Red Hood uniform. Aliens of all sorts, but especially Tamaranians, are hunted after on Earth as a man called Cruz finds a picture of her, then attacks her and attempts to drain her powers away. After she's attacked by Crux, it is revealed that she was experimented on by some measure of the Citadel, which allowed her to retain her power through unconventional means after being hit with technology designed to drain her of her powers. Starfire at first seemingly no longer remembers the Teen Titans when asked about them. However, it is later shown that she does retain her memory and recalls Dick Grayson and Roy's full name. Her sexual desires are brought up very casually when she offhandedly offers Harper a chance to sleep with her. Corey tells Jason that Roy that Tamaranians are said to have short attention spans when it comes to all things Earth, seeing humans as little more than sensory experiences. Later, it is shown that Coriander lied about her species characteristics for personal reason, and that her race is in fact capable of processing romantic feelings very deeply. So she's kind of all over the place with this. And I think that's, you know, unfortunately, I think that's just bad writing. I think that they could have done better with this and being a little bit more consistent, but that's just my opinion. By changing things up over and over again, I think that's just bad writing and kind of writing themselves in a corner and then backing out of it to get a story progressed further. Now, in a flashback, Jason reveals that Coriander is the one who found him and nursed him back to health on an island she has made her home. The two attempted a romantic relationship, but Jason later notes that they just friend-zoned each other. However, he does consider her a dear friend and narrates that if he ever gets used to Coriander kissing him, to shoot him. So it's soon revealed that Coriander is a commander of a spaceship named Starfire, the crew consisting of slaves she helped free when she herself escaped slavery. The Starfire has returned to Earth for Corey because that Tamaranian has been taken over by the Blight, a parasitic alien race. Starfire talks to Roy and Jason in private and explains that she and Commander, her sister, were not always on the best of terms, even though they tried. I don't know how they tried. Maybe next time don't sell your sister into slavery? I mean, that could be good. But this is mainly because Corey blames her sister and the people of Tamarin for her enslavement, so she is torn on if she should help them now. Roy is then kidnapped during an attack on the ship and taken to Tamarin, driving Star to go to her home planet. Eventually, Starfire decides she cannot leave her people and her sister helpless, so after they rescue Roy, the Outlaws, and the crew of the Starfire, they help Blackfire take back Tamarin, and Corey reconciles with her sister. Okay. So, later on, her planet is also taken over by Hellspawn. Basically, her planet keeps getting taken over. I don't know what it is with their race. They just keep getting taken over. Like, they're constantly attacked. Okay. So, in 2015... Coriander was given a new solo ongoing series called Starfire, wherein she returns to Earth. Presumably, at this point, her sister is healed from any kind of injury she may have had, and she goes to Key West, a city in Florida. She befriends a local sheriff, Stella Gomez, and a superpowered woman whose civilization lives inside the Earth's surface called Atlee. As of issue number 5, she has also befriended Stella's widowed brother Saul, who bears a striking resemblance to Dick Grayson and appears to not be particularly interested in heroism. In DC's new status quo, DC Rebirth, Starfire is in the Teen Titans book, recruited by Damian Wayne to be a part of his new Teen Titans. Is she even a teen at this point? Like, there's so much going on. There's so much going on with this, and there's not a lot of it that seems to make a lot of sense. But it's happening, and we have just kind of take it, right? But anyways, okay, after Damian Wayne crosses a line by kicking Wally West off the team, Starfire is chosen as the new leader of the Teen Titans. Starfire eventually joins the Justice League Odyssey, consisting of herself, Cyborg, Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern, Azrael, and Darkseid. So she's on another team. And I keep emphasizing this for a specific reason. And I'll get to that in a minute. But she is later converted against her will to join Darkseid, before seemingly killed by her sister Blackfire, who believes that she will be brought back to life by Epoch. So, there's just so much happening with all that. And I don't fully get it. Because, I mean, it's just so much. It's just such a lot, you know? I mean, it's a lot of a lot. But let's get into her powers. Now, Starfire is a Tamaranian, and as such, her physiology is designed to constantly absorb ultraviolet radiation. The radiation is then converted to pure energy, allowing her to fly at supersonic speeds. Starfire is capable of using this power to fly in space and even go fast enough to cross several solar systems in minutes or to seconds. The energy also gives her incredible superhuman strength and durability. This strength, combined with her fighting skills, allowed her to defeat the powerful Donna Troy about 1 out of 3 times during purely hand-to-hand matches. She later proved strong enough to fight against Wonder Woman for a certain period of time, and during a fit of rage was so strong that Donna Troy was unable to contain her without the help of Mon-El. In the 2003 TV series, she was strong enough to easily throw vehicles and destroy entire streets with her blows. After being experimented on by the alien Scions, Starfire gained the ability to release her absorbed energy into incredibly powerful blasts called Starbolts. So, yes. As shown in the Insiders crossover story arc of Teen Titans and Outsiders, Starfire can also release nearly all of her stored energy as a powerful omnidirectional explosive burst, many times stronger and more powerful than her standard blasts. The released energy leaves her in a weakened state. She's also known that she can consciously absorb ambient ultraviolet energy. Starfire also demonstrated more control over her powers in the New 52 reboot, having used her internal energy to melt the metal of Jason Todd's gun when it came into contact with her skin. Starfire and all Tamaranians are capable of assimilating languages through physical contact with another person. When Starfire attempts to do so with a male, she typically does so by kissing because it's more fun for her. Starfire is also proficient in hand-to-hand combat, having been trained by the Warlords of Okara. She doesn't need to eat, drink, sleep, and doesn't require an atmosphere to breathe unless she is low on ultraviolet energy. So there's a lot of stuff with her powers there. That's really cool. There's a lot, and I love it. Now, fun facts. Starfire placed 21st on IGN's 2013 list of top 25 heroes of DC Comics. She was also ranked 20th in Comic Buyer Guide's 100 Sexiest Women in Comics. Starfire appears in the Teen Titan animated series, and this version of the character does not use contractions in her speech, has a limited grasp of Earth culture, and tends to misstate or misunderstand common idioms. Furthermore, when she flies, she does not emit a contrail like in the comics. In the comics, like, she kind of had this fire contrail from her hair. She also has a secret romantic feelings for Robin throughout the whole series until the final movie, Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo, where she and Robin finally admit their feelings for each other and become a couple. Starfire also appears in new Teen Titans shorts. In one short, she kisses a Spanish boy to learn Spanish. just like how she kissed a Japanese boy to learn Japanese in Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo. This causes Robin to be jealous and learn French to impress her. When he shows her his amazing French skills, she kisses him on the lips. It's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty smart. Good job, Robin. Alright, Starfire also appears in Teen Titans Go. However, unlike her previous incarnation, Starfire does not reciprocate Robin's romantic feelings towards her out of obliviousness. Rather, she sees him as a brother figure or friend. However, in Mouthhole and Return of Slade, it is predicted that they kissed. In this version, Starfire is shown as less mature, intelligent, and collected. Her rage and fury releases a huge barrage of circular bright green ultraviolet energy bolts that cause quite a lot of damage and pain to her enemies. Her hair is colored hot pink and in this comedic version and not auburn as in the original show. She also appears as a non-voice cameo in a DC Super Friends short. She's also a recurring character in DC Superheroes Girls. She appears in an episode called Tween Titans of DC Superhero Girls. She appears as a main character in the DC Universe series, The Titans. I've got a lot of fun facts about her, so I'm trying to skip through some of them. She appears in the fifth part of the Arrowverse crossover, Crisis on Infinite Earth, via archive footage from the episode Titans. She appears in the Teen Titans animated series adaptation, Trouble in Tokyo. She appears in the Superman Batman Public Enemies animated movie as part of Lex Luthor's force of government employed superheroes. She has a very brief cameo in Batman vs. Robin, appearing as a still image on Dick Grayson's phone, although the image is obscured due to an incoming call notification from Alfred. She also makes another cameo in Batman Bad Blood, where she and Dick had plans for a date at Titan's Tower, but it's cancelled by Dick after a fight with Blockbuster and an emergency call from Alfred. Starfire appears in the animated film Justice League vs. Teen Titans, where she is revealed to be the oldest and most mature member of the Titans, as well as a leader after the departure of Robin, who's now Nightwing. Starfire also appears in DC Comics Superheroes Justice League Gotham City Breakout. She also appears in the direct-to-video film DC Superhero Girls Hero of the Year. She's also in the film Teen Titans The Judas Contract. She's also one of the main characters in the 2018 animated theatrical film Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And she is also, Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans animated movie. She was in that, where you can see many alternate versions of Starfire, including like her old 70s or 80s costume. It's really cool. A waitress wearing an exotic version of Starfire's costume based on her new 52 appearance makes a cameo in Batman and Harley Quinn. She's got a non-speaking role in Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. Mayhem in the Multiverse. She's in the Teen Titans Go and DC Superhero Girls Mayhem in the Multiverse. She's a playable character in the Teen Titans Game Boy Advance games. She's in the DC Universe Online games. And Starfire appears as a spawnable and playable character in the Wii U only version of Scribblenauts Unmasked. And Starfire appears as a playable character via a downloadable contact pack in LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham. She is a playable fighter via downloadable contact in Injustice 2. And the Teen Titans Go version of Starfire is a playable character in LEGO Dimensions. She's also in DC Unchained. She's a playable character. She was also in the Teen Titans trading card game, which I know nothing about. So I would assume that... I don't know if it's like Pokemon or anything. I don't know. I can't even BS my way through it. But what do you guys think of Starfire's history? Like, there's a lot to it, right? But she's cool. She's a cool character. There's just always something that seems to be happening to her. But I want to know what you guys think. Did I miss anything super important? Like, she had a lot of history that I skipped over, and it's just because it didn't seem like it really developed her more. It was just kind of like her going through the same motions. But let me know. Like I said, you can reach out to me via email at b4itall@yahoo.com. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, you can find me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Comment, like, subscribe, leave a message, give a critique, request for future episodes. Let's have a conversation about the character, especially if I miss something that you feel is important, because I want to make sure that we have that noted. And I do respond to everything, even if it's liking the comment. You know, like, I try to keep a conversation going until it's done, basically. Like, I'm not just going to leave you hanging there. But yeah, let me know. Like I said, you can email me, catch me on Twitter or Instagram under Super Deep Dive. My DMs are always open. You can email me, all that good stuff. But let's get into the power expansion part. Now, this is where I go and I say, does this character need a movie, an animated series, a new comic storyline? Who would we cast? What would the plot be? All this kind of good stuff. And Starfire is no exception. We're going to do that too. So one of the things I've always liked about Starfire is her innocence. Like, she was used as a sexual plaything. She escaped Earth. She became a real hero. And all the while, staying pretty pure and true to herself. Like, granted, in later writing, she's been a bit more open about things, like physically, sexually, than before. But at the core, she's still who she's always been. And, you know, at least I hope she is. I'd like to think she is. But one of the things I've never really seen is a good retelling of her time growing up. And I'd like to see this in an animated style. Like, you know how Teen Titans had the Young Justice spinoff. I'd like to do one for just Starfire, like maybe Teen Titans Origins, and then you can have different seasons focus on different characters, you know. But I'd like to see one for Starfire. But I'm gonna be honest with you, for the purists out there, I definitely understand. I understand where you're coming from, but bear with it, okay? Because I've got some interesting twists that might catch your eye or catch your ear. So I want to do an animated series based on Starfire and her origins. Or it can even circle around back to her origins. It can be present day, but it can circle around telling of her origins, but her being in present day and doing things now, like current adventures. You know, but I like the Titans look that she had. But it doesn't have to be graphic, like with her origin in the way that she was like sexually exploited, but there can be things alluded to. Like, we can talk about slavery, and we can see like a room of female aliens or something, so you kind of get an idea of what happened, but you don't have to go into detail. But the thing is, she's got a long, twisted, and hurt history that deserves to be expanded on. Now this is where I'm kind of going off on a tangent, because I brainstormed for like 2 hours on this. I always notice that her powers really seemed close to Superman's, as far as, you know, flying, strength, durability, whereas Superman has the eye beams, she's got the star bolt. So I wondered how they would do in a fight against each other. And I've seen where Starfire may not be as strong as Superman, but she can actually start absorbing the solar energy from him to weaken him to the point of defeat. So she can actually be like his kryptonite. And I want to explore that. And the reason I'm addressing that first is because that's going to be kind of like the basis or the premise for things. That's the mental thought I had before I went into a new origin, almost. Like, what if her race, the Tamaranians, was actually genetically engineered by an ancient Kryptonian scientist? You know, like he designed the Tamaranians to be slaves. And, you know, and it says that they were experimented on by other things. I'm keeping it within, you know, easy, understandable terms. Like within the DC universe, so where the casual fan can pick up on it. But, you know, the Starbolts, let's have that be part of who the Tamaranians are, you know? So, but this could explain why our powers are the base, or the basis for them are pretty similar. In fact, let's say a Kryptonian scientist mixed his DNA with the DNA of someone from Mongol's race. And if you don't remember Mongol, he's this orange alien that has a, basically a planet-sized ship called Warworld that he's a Superman villain. And he just likes bringing people on Warworld to fight and beat up. So he constantly, like, that's what he does. He lives for battle. But he's orange. So let's say they mixed someone from Mongol's race with it. And that would explain the skin color. And it could also be said that their DNA wasn't fully compatible. And that's why Starfire's race isn't necessarily as strong as a Kryptonian's, but they are similar. So, like I said, let's have this Kryptonian scientist, like, raise them to be slaves, and, you know, basically they get forgotten about, by the Kryptonians. So, you know, the guy dies, or they have an uprising, and beat him because of sheer numbers, but at the same time, they're kind of, they have this archaic government system or ruling class, but we can expand on this. Like, so what if Starfire's race was, like, just like I said, some big science experiment, and she ended up finding out about this? Like, what if they really started working her powers so she could be one of the serious heavy hitters with it? And the reason I'm saying that is, like, she finds out that her race was bred by Kryptonians to be slaves. So she tries to find different ways to develop, because this is something that she can't rely on a team with. And she's always been a team player. You know, she's always been a part of a team. This is something she's got to do on her own. So she finds her history. And she gains this whole level of, like, understanding of her powers and her physiology as a result, where she's learning to do things. She's learning to absorb solar energy more efficiently than she has, even from people, you know, like beings like Superman. You know, what if she meets up with the Ray, you know, stuff like that. But She can do all of this. So, you know, like, I brainstormed about this whole Kryptonian thing so much, and ended up, like, driving my wife crazy. But I noticed that for the most part, Starfire's race had kind of, like, this medieval feel to it. Like, they had arranged marriage, sex slaves, stuff like that. So that's where I came up with, like, what if they started out as slaves, and the Kryptonians, for the Kryptonians, they were forgotten about. They grew to where they are now. You know, Starfire finds out, and she's trying to get, like, she's furious. She's trying to get understanding and kind of vindication for this. But, you know, Krypton is no more. So she's got to go to Superman, but she's angry. So if Superman says anything wrong, you know, it's going to break out in a fight, because she's already on edge. Like, she's wanting to release this rage. So she just needs an excuse. So, you know, they're doing all this. They're fighting, but in this, like I said, it's something that only she can really do. So what if she goes and finds Mongol and fights him and, you know, grows as a result of that? You know, she goes and we bring in Supergirl or even Power Woman at this point. You know, like all these Kryptonian heroes, and we figure out what's going on. She can even go to I can't remember the guy's name, Mon-El, I think, who's, you know, a different race, but they're kind of like considered half cousins to the Kryptonians. So like she's going on all this big journey, and she's having to learn things about herself to where she can become this super heavy hitter. Because I always viewed Starfire as kind of a mix of Superman and Wonder Woman, and I think she deserves to be on that level, because she's got a really unique story, and it almost seems like they've just taken it and always thrown it to the side. But I'd love to know what you guys think. Like, what would you like to do with Starfire? How would you like to see her? Can she be one of the mainstream heroes? Can she be one of the heavy hitters? I think she could, but I think she needs to get out of the team to do it. I'm anxious to hear what you guys think. Let me know. Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can send me a DM on Instagram or Twitter under Super Deep Dive. If you can find me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. I have videos posted all the time. I have Friday videos posted that are randomly themed featuring artwork, or I think I've got one coming up. It's superheroes in a pinup style, you know, just different things. Just fun videos for Friday. I post superhero memes Monday through Friday in a video format as YouTube Shorts. But yeah, comment, like, subscribe, help me grow the channel. If I can get 500 subscribers, I'm going to do a giveaway. And, you know, I want to keep growing. And I can't do that without you guys, which I'm so eternally grateful for. But yeah, let's have a discourse and it'll be fun. But I think I'm going to head out. I'm recording this on Thanksgiving and I have food to cook. So everyone, I hope you're all blessed. I hope you're all happy. I hope you're safe. And I hope you're smart, but if you're not smart, don't get caught. I will see you guys later. Bye-bye.